This is my great treatise on the relapse rate. Yeah, so I'll read this out. In 47 years of being, I posted this in a fucking Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you know, and the relapse rate, it goes something like this. If you had 1,000 people go, oh, I can't have the drugs, I'm going mad, fuck, you know, they're going to send me to prison forever or some other fucking shit, you know. I can't go on, with me drugs, you know, So, what happens is if you get 1,000 people walking into Narcotics Anonymous meetings on a given day, you know, the groups will typically hand out all these welcome to NA little tokens and shit, you know what I mean? And what happens is, This is kind of objective and antidotal sort of evidence, is that I explain to people that there's not much difference between 10,000 and 10,003, but there's a lot of difference between 10,000 and 3. You know, so when you get people relapsing, when people go to NA, they usually give them the newcomers, they go, oh, the newcomer's the most important person in the room. It's like fucking, well, you know, says who, you know. And, you know, and what happens is within 3 months, out of the 1,000 people that join Narcotics Anonymous, within 3 months, 50% of them are gone. Within a year, 95% of them are gone. And within 3 years, a bit more, or within 5 years, around about 98.5% of them are gone, and within 10 years, 99% of them are gone, you know. So it's a fucking curve that goes like, what's the words, you know, it goes from 1,000 down to 50 at the end of the first year. At 5 years, you've got about 15, and at 10 years, you've got about 10, maybe 12, you know, depending on whose figures and which year and shit, but basically, you've got 10 people, you know, and then by the time you get to, say, 21 years drug-free, there's, for every one person that goes and buys a medallion, the groups have handed out 36,000 fucking welcome to NA tokens, and by the time you get to 33 years drug-free, that's around about 100 the groups for every one person that buys a fucking token. And I just think these people get a little bit tired of buying trinkets, you know what I mean? You know? But it's the issue isn't the matter of absolute accuracy of how many people who get to 33 years drug-free actually get there, and how many fucking of them buy fucking tokens, you know. It's like that 10,000 and 10,003, you know, versus the difference between 10,000 and 3, you know. So the figures are sort of something like there's 100, the groups have bought 170,000 welcome to AA or NA fucking tokens. That's Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous tokens, and for every one person that buys a 33-year sober medallion, you know, and so been run, around long enough to sort of to be a contributor to develop the fucking Narcotics Anonymous basic text, you know. And I made submissions and alterations to it, you know what I mean, before it got sort of published. And so, you know, I have a stake in that. And one of the pieces of shit that gets told to you is the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. But what they don't tell you is that if 95% of people relapse within the first year, and one of the things they don't tell you is if almost all the fucking people who come don't last very long. So it's a sort of, it's a bit like, you know, very high relapse rate, very high churn rate, you know. You know. Then, you know, then that advice of, you know, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. If you're surrounded by people who won't make this a lifelong sort of commitment, you know, and see that using again is down the track as some sort of viable option, because if they didn't, they wouldn't, you know, then if you're surrounded by people who eventually relapse and go back out using, and never sort of come back, then, you know, essentially you're getting the advice of you know, you're fitting in with a bunch of fucking fools who whose opinions and value to you as a person sort of in recovery is basically fucking nil, you know. And so that's one of the things that people don't talk about. And I've just got so tired of the fucking assholes going, you can't say that, you can't say that, that I've just sort of come out with both barrels blazing, you know. What happens is, you know, I had some smart cunt going, I said, you know, because I started going to AA meetings and stuff like that, you know, being dragged along by a parent, you know, but, in 47 years of being around AA and its derivatives, no one has ever come up to me and asked, what do I need to do to live a really great drug-free life and to die of old age and natural causes? Okay, I posted that in a fucking NA meeting. And some retard retorted, why should anyone ask you that, you know? And I thought about this for a while. I came up with three answers. And what it is, one, at 33 years and 2 months sober, I've outlived around 170,000 people like you. Two, a smart person would say, if most people fail by doing what it takes to fail, then if I want to succeed at life, I'd better make sure I am rigorously honest and hardworking, you know. You've got to put in the fucking effort, you know. And not lie, not play fucking games with yourself or other people. And three, I'd better start questioning the bullshit of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and the bullshit artists in it. Most of what is written in the Narcotics Anonymous basic text is wrong. For instance, the therapeutic effect of one addict helping another is without parallel. Of 1,000 newcomers, around 5%, that's 50 of them, get 1 year sober. Around 16 get to 5 years sober, that's 1.6%. And around 1% of the initial 1,000, or around 12 people, clock over 10 years drug-free, then almost all people are not totally committed to this process. Your peers in Narcotics Anonymous, by and large, are not assets, they are liabilities. They lie, they buck pass and bullshit and deal themselves out of the game, and they set themselves against those who are doing the right things for the right reasons. Almost all people in NA are your enemies. Think about that. You know? And, you know, I didn't post this, but, you know, because I've only got sort of so much space and time and shit to do everything in. But, you know, if they're not fucking work, if they're not, if they're the, if they are setting the benchmark of dishonesty and lying and manipulation and playing games and all this other fucking crap, then, you know, then they, it's like you got to, you know, that thing. You know, what gets said is that, you know, oh, you're hanging around with the fucking kids from the wrong side of the track, you know, and I don't mean that they sort of got really nice, super clean, tidy houses and their lawns, you know, and the white picket fence and all that sort of shit, you know what I mean? But there's sort of ethical issues, you know? And, you know, are they fucking totally honest, you know, in dealing with themselves? Or are they only sort of going, well, I don't really need to deal with that, so I'll just sort of talk about how good it is being off the drugs rather than, you know, looking at everything else, you know. Or looking at everything else that, you know, the drugs were a part of. And, you know, it's what gets sort of said. I've met so many people from different detoxes and rehabs, and this is the common theme. You know, this is just, I'll just cite one person in particular. But they said, you know, I raised the issue of the relapse rate of fucking in Alcoholics Anonymous. And one guy, oh, fucking, the same thing, you know. And one guy said, well, I was in a, I'm glad this is someone's bringing this up, because I was in a rehab and, you know, there was 25 of us, you know, in the rehab for a particular fucking month or whatever. And they said to us, there's 25 people in this room right here, right now, today. They said, in 5 years' time, you're going to be lucky to have one of you still left alive, you know. And that story is mirrored and replicated by almost everybody who's ever been there, who works in the field of fucking rehabs and detoxes and shit like that. That, you know, across the board, you know, and so, you know, I've just sort of heard the similar stories that are sort of more or less identical. So many people in so many places, and yeah, it's, they're fucking word for word identical, more or less, you know. And so when you get that sort of information out of detoxes and rehabs and stuff, and then you look at the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and you get the sort of story that, you know, this is just based upon sales figures. It's not, you know, it's not, I guess that thing, if you start off with 10,000 people and then end up with three of them, you know, that's one thing, you know, but there's, you know, when it comes to sort of variance, it doesn't matter if it's 10,000 or 10,003. It's essentially, But 10,000 or 10,003 is a lot different to 3, you know. And I'm getting a little bit lost here. And, you know, I was watching some old videos on the Hitler Youth, you know, and how they sort of indoctrinated the kids with the party philosophy. And I thought, well, I'm not saying it's not without value, but you've really got to start questioning what it is you're being fed, you know? And so, you know, and it comes down to sort of like saying, oh, you know, AA, or he's saying Narcotics Anonymous, and Alcoholics Anonymous is bad. Well, there's a lot of really bad things about it, you know? But there's also the willingness of people to stay on the ball and to get on with things and to look for opportunities, you know, to improve and change and how to address issues, you know. And it's kind of like, of late, I've noticed all the COVID fucking idiots going, oh, got to be double vaxxed, oh, to come onto the premises, got to get me vaccine shots, oh, I'm not feeling too fucking good, oh. You know, and they're swallowing the government propaganda. The bullshit about the vaccines, you know. And, you know, and I thought, most of you fucking people are morons. You know, you just swallow the bullshit, and everybody that comes into Narcotics Anonymous is indoctrinated into going along with all the other bullshit. Instead of questioning, it's like John Bradshaw said. He said it's not one of the tenets of fucking Nazism was, you know, that you're, you know, you're not allowed to sort of you're given orders, but you're not allowed to question the content of the orders, you know? So and that's one of the sort of the great taboos. Oh, it's in the basic text. Well, I was one of the fucking cunts who helped write it. And, you know, 33 years later, you know, but, you know, if the therapeutic, if everybody you're surrounded with is relapsing and dying, you know, or pretty much, you know, I'm not saying just because they leave NA that it's you're doomed, you know, I'm not buying into that shit. I'm not buying that fucking crap for a minute, but where is it? Thank you to my guest speaker, Mr. Vacuum Cleaner. The you know, so that's the thing. You know, the therapeutic effect of fucking one addict helping another. You know, it's what I call sort of, you know, partial honesty. You know. And if everybody sits around parroting the fucking, yeah, the Hitler Youth, that you're supposed to deny, you're not, you know, it's the unquestioning obedience and the brainwashing, you know. And, and that sort of again, that sort of gets back into the dysfunctional family of origin fucking issue, you know. You know, you're not supposed to talk about what goes on at home, and you're not supposed to go outside of the family to fucking help. You know. You know, because these are the family rules. You know, and Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous is one great big fucking dysfunctional family. You know, because when you start to run it past, you know, real world, what's the words? You know, when you start to run it past real world type events, what you get fed, what you get told, and what actually occurs are, you know, two different things. You know, and there's also the issue, the second issue is there's a lot of bad things about Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, and but people have to take personal responsibility. You know, if I view Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous more like, say, a small business management course, you know, where fuck, gotta stand up. Well, well, what happens is, with the, you know, the doing inventory and all these acts of satanic fucking permutations or whatever, that's not a bad idea. It's actually quite good. Because it's kind of like, you know, I think when Bill Wilson wrote that stuff, him and the other people who wrote that, the AA basic text, that, you know, the price of sobriety is eternal vigilance, you know, and you really can't afford, you know, you can't be, well, I've invented a phrase because you can't be sort of, can't be doing things that are perfect, but, you know, you can do things and they're perfect enough, you know, and that's not a bad way to sort of And so, as soon as you sort of start to get a bit on the slack side, it's like I view sort of recovery as there's no end to the amount of issues that can be addressed. There's no end to the amount of opportunities or creative ways to, you know, address all your issues. And if you get off your arse and look, you'll find them, you know. Maybe not straight away, but there's books, there's recordings, there's therapists, there's all sorts of fucking people, all sorts of places. All sorts of fucking resources. And this whole recovery type stuff is, you know, it's available. And you've got to be at it, you know. And it's a bit like, it's a bit like doing bookkeeping, you know. If you run your life is essentially a business, and you have to run your life as a business because it is a business, you know. In a very simple sort of sense, that if you run out of money, you run out of food, you run out of food, you don't eat, and if you don't eat, you don't shit, and if you don't shit, you're in a lot of trouble, you know? And, so, that being, you know, so it's like doing what's the words with your bookkeeping and accounting. If you do your life as a sort of a daily, I tend to agree with fucking Bill Wilson and the other people who wrote the AA basic text. They said a business that regularly fails to regularly take inventory usually goes broke. And, you know, if you have all your receipts, well, you got to do your account balance. You know, you got to work out what you bought, you know, what you owe, who owes you, how much you've got in stock, how much it's worth, you know, how to sell it, you know, what you've sold, all of this sort of stuff. And, you know, then you've got to sort of calculate, you do your sort of calculations to say, well, am I making money or am I losing money? Am I going forward or going fucking backwards, you know? And it's the same thing with recovery. You've got to fucking, you know, you've got to do your lessons, you know, you've got to keep up to date on your issues. And where the first people of AA who wrote that AA basic text, not just Bill Wilson, they said, you know, the problems of the alcoholic, unless he sort of keeps ahead of his fucking issues, they said that the problems of the alcoholic usually start to pile up and are astonishingly difficult to solve. And that's what happens, is if you're in recovery and you're not addressing your issues on a fairly regular basis, then you end up in the shit because you haven't kept, you know, you just things just pile up and pile up and pile up, and then you sort of, you don't have a sort of daily sort of bowl of fucking shit, a sort of daily sort of dealing of issues to contend with. You've got a fucking several truckloads and not enough time to do it, you know. And so, and you know, so what I put up was you know, I got a meal. It's either about to be fucking served or incinerated. So food at last. What a blast. Trying to cook and think at the same time. So, yeah, I've decided to go on the offence, you know, because I'm tired of listening to cunts go, oh, NA speak. You know, I'm a good little addict. I'm saying everything that everybody else is supposed to say and teaching them, you know, to tell people to fuck off occasionally and also question it. Don't just sit there swallowing all the fucking bullshit you're fed. Examine it. You know? Cross-reference it, you know? You know? Because there's a... You know, I think there's... There's a lot of brain-dead fucking people in AA and NA. And in Narcotics Anonymous. And, yeah. So, you know, fuck. So, you know, and what happens is when I speak about this stuff, you know, what I sort of read out before, you know, almost all people in then ending with almost all people. If everybody's, almost everybody's going to go back out using, then, you know, the so-called idea of, you know, the therapeutic effect of fucking one addict helping another is without parallel. Then that's a load of shit, you know. And so therefore, almost all people in Narcotics Anonymous are your fucking enemies. You know, if you go by the benchmarks they present, then they're no fucking good. They're going to fail, you know. And so what usually happens is the cunts usually boot me from the Zoom meetings and, 7 p.m. already. And I said, you know, wrote this, I said, "What? Just watch the retarded motherfuckers boot me from the meeting for telling the truth. Watch them end up choking on their own shit and then die. These are my words." At H, I put it in the address, you know, in the fucking, under the bloody thingo, you know. It's on the, and, you know, where it says, you know, "These are my words on this website. What is the, you know, what is the real AA success rate? Out of each 1,000 newcomers to AA, how many people will pick up a 1-year sobriety medallion a year later or ever? And how many will get their 2-year, 5-year and 10-year coins? And how about 11 years and 21 years? Hint, the answers are here, here and here." So you look up, for the verbalists amongst you, you look up the Orange Papers, www.orange-papers, one word, you know, .org, and it's on the webarchive.org, you know. And, yeah, the tables are in there. They're the ones I sent to Patrick, and Patrick took it further and did much more examination and sort of everything like that, because I got the figures from the Alcoholics Anonymous World Surface Office and the Narcotics Anonymous World Surface Office. Remember that there's fuck all difference between 10,000 and 10,003, but there's a lot of difference between 10,000 and 3, you know? So we, he researched all these issues further, and he did a pretty fucking good job because he's more familiar with statistics and other issues. But he's built upon what I gave him, you know, and what was already in the public sphere but not openly talked about. So, you know, if you're into sort of this AA sort of cult-based bullshit, there's some really good things about it, but fuck it. You know, if most people are going to relapse, you know, because they're only going to do a bit of a half-baked job of it, you know, it's then they're not worth listening to. They really aren't. They're just going, oh, well, fucking, oh, it's so good being sober today and everybody's so wonderful and, oh, AA is really great and, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, you know. And they don't do anything about themselves. They don't go, here's an opportunity to chase these people up, to chase this information, to chase these resources and to put it into effect in my own fucking life, you know. And, you know, this gets back into that stupid cunt in the fucking meeting. I said, in 47 years of being around AA and its derivatives, no one has ever come up to me and asked, what do I need to do to live a really great lot drug-free life and to die of old age and natural causes? And, you know, the smart-ass, the fucking retarded cunt said, why should anybody ask you that? You know, give him 3 months, 6 months, he'll be sitting in a fucking alleyway banging up smack. And if the halfwit even can even fucking remember me, you'd be saying, oh, that fucking smart cunt, who the fuck does he think he is? You know. So, yeah, thank you, dear patrons, and I hope you can benefit from this lesson. Okay, bye.